thank you for sticking with us. Good afternoon. Once again, I'll be talking to you today about quantifying salt removal from tile drainage in the Red River Valley of North Dakota. This project is co-advised by Dr. Frank Casey and Dr. Abby Wick. This project is part of the extension component at NDSU, where they're working hard to communicate with the producers and relay experimental results to them in North Dakota so that they can make educated management decisions. Specifically, we're working with the economic time return of style drain installation as a salinity management tool. This is part of the Share Farm Initiative, where they have a field plot, and they're using both short-term research like mine and long-term field research to come up with some tile drainage information that we can provide to our producers. Our overall research objectives was to determine how much water is required to leach salts from the soil. We have a couple of hypotheses within this. First, if water moves through the soil and is intercepted by the tile drain, then anything in that soil water, including salts, will be removed from the field. And second, if the salt is higher in concentration or lower in solubility, it'll take more time and thus more water to remove that salt from the soil. Just a quick overview of the different salt types and effects. The NRCS classifies soil as either normal, saline, sodic, or saline sodic. This classification is based upon the electrical conductivity, pH, sodium absorption ratio, and exchangeable sodium percentage ratings. For the rest of this presentation, I'm highlighting saline soil. Our field has a saline soil condition, which is an excess of calcium or magnesium ions. And under normal conditions, the plant is able to uptake water from the soil water solution through an osmotic potential gradient. However, when you increase those dissolved ions, that potential gradient lowers, making it difficult for the plant to uptake water. This can induce stress symptoms and have a subsequent decline in crop yield. So in order to understand our tile drainage and how it's affecting our soils and salt removal, we need to know some background information about our site. The Red River Valley has salt-rich parent material, and they've been experiencing a wet cycle since the early 90s. This has caused groundwater tables to rise, bringing with it transport salts. They have semi-arid weather conditions, so even though they are experiencing a wet cycle, they still have a high demand for evapotranspiration and little available precipitation to reverse the effects of the salinization process. They have a very unique soil type, which I'll explain in further detail after this slide. It's a fine, smectitic, frigid, typey epiaquirite. And so far, the most popular choice of management by producers has been tile drainage. In 2000, my advisor came here and said there wasn't any tile drainage in the Red River Valley, as they really had no need for it. In 2008, there was an estimated 22,000 acres of tile drainage installed, and as of 2015, 88,000 acres of tile drainage installed. That's quite an increase, and we don't really know how effective it is as a salinity management tool or what the long-term effects are from installing tile drainage in this area. So as I said, our soil type is pretty unique. It's very critical to understand that soil salinity management is a water management problem. The salts came there through water, they're going to leave through water. So if you're using tile drain as your implementation to remove salts, you need to be getting water to your tile drain. These smectitic soils have shrink swell characteristics, which means under dry conditions, these soils contract and you form large macropores that can act as sort of a highway for water transfer. If I want to direct you over here, you can see if you have water moving down, precipitation, when the soil is dry and cracked, you might be getting water to your tile drain almost immediately. However, if your soils are saturated, and there's a saturated zone above your tile drain, that water movement can be greatly impeded by that swelling factor, and those macropores that were once there have swollen shut, significantly decreasing water movement through the soil. And finally, we have more complicating factors in the field. If you have a compaction layer or some type of impermeable layer above your tile drain, water may fall upon the soil surface and move horizontally across the field as opposed to laterally down to your tile drain. There's more complications with the shrink swell soil. They're very hard to model and make model predictions with. These varied hydraulic properties that I just described causes a change in pore size distribution that is difficult to account for in a lot of our models. And not only do they have a unique response apart from other soils, they also are unique within and of themselves. So if you look across a field of smectitic soil and it's dried and cracked, you'll notice that those cracks aren't exactly uniform. It doesn't always act in the same behavior even within its own soil type. There is a lot of ongoing research on shrink swell soils. We're not the only ones interested in the subject or trying to model transport through these soils. So what was our solution approach to this problem? We wanted to provide our producers with some reliable information So what we decided to do was look at the amount of salt being removed from just above the tile drain. And to do that, we harvested cores from a field. In the red star location, we harvested 3 high salt cores, and in the blue location, 3 low salt cores. These cores were 8 inches in diameter and 4 feet in length, going down to where the tile drain was installed. We then established a wet-dry cycle, indicative of what soils in North Dakota experienced throughout the season. So here you can see us, well, our technicians harvesting the soil cores. I was taking pictures. We then installed tensiometers to measure water flow through these cores. We have micro samplers we can extract water from within the core, and then we also looked at leachate coming out of the core after we applied water. So with this process, we're drying out the cores, applying water, measuring for salt removal, drying them out again, and repeating this process. So here are results from 2 leaching events. Along the y-axis, we have the fraction of salt removed. This represents the amount of salt leached that we collected from the bottom of the core compared to what's estimated in the core total. Along the x-axis, we have the depth of water leached. And each point is an average from the 3 cores. So for example, our point low salt 1, this is the average fraction of salt removed and the average depth of water leached for the low salt cores for leaching event 1. The error bars along the x-axis is that standard deviation between those cores, and the error bar along the y-axis is the standard deviation of the fraction of salt removed along those cores. So we had a lot of variation in these samples, as you can see. However, they are unique. They didn't all crack the same. The structure in all these cores were different. So it's not too surprising we see such variation between the replicates. The good news is that we did see water leach through these cores, and we did see salt removed. Those numbers look relatively low along the y-axis, topping out at a 0.004 for our second leaching event. And to try and understand just how low those numbers are, we kind of looked at the difference in salt between those high and low salt locations. So the whole circle represented here is the difference in salt being the high salt cores and the low salt cores. The fractions of the circle are what was removed in the first and second leaching event from the high salt core specifically. And if you average those two together, you would need 131 leaching events, actually getting water down to your tile drain, in order to remove that excess salt from the high and the low salt locations. So in conclusion, leaching and removal of salt is limited but possible in a Fargo clay soil with tile drain. The unique shrink swell characteristics of the soil induced varied results. We saw a lot of variation between our replications. And finally, from this research and field site so far, an estimate of 131 leaching events is required to remove the excess salt from the high salt location. I'd like to thank my advisors, technicians, and funding providers for making my research possible. This was funded by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the North Dakota Corn Council. And I will take any questions.
Plenty of time for some questions.
Right, so but see, you're looking at, I'll go to the picture. So yeah, you know, we don't really know where exactly the salts are. I'd kind of expect them, there would be pockets in there that the water isn't really hitting. If it's just shooting down those macro pores, it's only really getting what's ever on that edge. That's correct. That kind of makes it difficult to model and make model predictions with. That's why we just kind of went with, we're just going to measure it and see what happens coming out of these pores. So yeah, go ahead. Not really. We put grass on the top to try and help dry them out when we're trying to dry this clay out. You know, we are drying ryegrass in between while they're drying. We're not doing anything with that really, to be honest. It kind of takes off and then it kind of sort of dives as it dries. So we're not looking at plant indicators right now. And then I'll take both of them, but
these are salt areas.
Yes. Yes, those solubilities of those salts are very different. So you expect the sodium, well, leaching sodium is a beast in and of it by itself, but I would expect those salts to be more soluble, so I think they would come into solution easier. However, as far as the leaching of them, because of the dispersive effects of the sodium, I don't know how different this would be from that.
It looks like you used just rain events to
So long term, they are monitoring the tile water and I believe groundwater as well. They do have wells out there. They've been monitoring this field for a while, but as far as I know, there's at least a 10-year plan for this field monitoring. They tile drain the northern half of the field and left the southern half untiled. There's quite a bit of future planning going on for this project.